This is Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. In the 1960s, there were few black people on television outside of civil rights or Vietnam War images. There were a couple of sitcoms that had black characters, but by and large, TV was created for and reflective of white audiences. Ellis Hazlip wanted to change that.
Hazlip was the driving force behind the television show Soul. He was the producer, the director, and the host of what is now considered a pioneering program. His life and his work are the subject of a new documentary, Mr. Soul, which is part of Milwaukee Film's celebration of Black History Month. Soul featured prominent artists, poets, and dancers from the black community.
Felipe Luciano was one of those artists. Luciano was one of the founding members of The Last Poets and had a chance to host Soul during its 5-year run. Luciano was in Milwaukee for an event with Milwaukee Film, and he spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers beforehand by phone from New York City.
Soul was the vision of what I call one of America's first black renaissance men. His name was Ellis Hazlip. He was the director of the show. He was the executive producer of the show. And what he wanted to do was, while we were embroiled in war from 1968 to 1973, what he wanted to do was have us not forget the culture of our beings. He celebrated black life. Now, that may seem, for those of you who have gone, who go back to the 60s, that may seem to be a bit redundant. But the truth was is that we were so involved on two wars as a country, the war in Vietnam and the war in the streets. And the war, remember, we were also going through assassinations. We were going through the Black Panthers. We were going through the Young Lords. We were going through people reacting differently to oppression and hatred and bitterness. Many of our kids were coming back home in coffins. Others were talking about their depression while being in Vietnam. It was a difficult time for America. So while we were fighting that war, and Nixon was, of course, involved in all of this stuff, Ellis Hazlip decided to produce a program that would celebrate black life, not to forget black culture. He saw it as of paramount importance. And when you think about it, it leaves you stunned that even then he knew that the way you combat depression, the way you combat fatigue, the way you combat doubt, the way you combat anxiety, is by looking at the positives of yourself. And he did that exquisitely with black culture. The show, of course, was called Soul.
Soul is often described as a pioneering program, which it seems like it's even very unique compared to what we have on the air today. It highlighted poets, it highlighted dance in a way we don't often see. What do you think made it so unique among the programs that were on the air at the time?
The fact that it was courageous. The fact that it was courageous and loving. The fact that it was courageous and inspiring. The fact that he did not divorce culture from politics, from spirit. Today, the shows that we have on that are cultural shows emphasize only one part, one facet of our myriad personality. He wanted us to see every aspect of it. And so what you saw on Soul, what you heard on Soul, were the new talents that were under your nose. You heard about them, the black community heard about it, but you didn't know that they were at world famous. He made them world famous. Before they came to the fore as America's chosen, if you will, these performers were already making names for themselves on the Chitlin circuit, on the Cuchifrito circuit. They were taking care of business. So You heard Patti LaBelle, who everyone loves. You heard James Baldwin. You heard The Last Poets. You heard Nikki Giovanni, Harry Belafonte, Stevie Wonder, Sidney Poitier, Ashford M. Simpson, Rahsaan Roland Kirk, Amiri Baraka, Louis Farrakhan. You name the personality, and they were on the air. Not to mention, he also made sure that we didn't forget that the diaspora is multicultural. He allowed me to do the first Latin show ever recorded nationally. I put on Tito Puente, the king of Latin music, and Willie Colón and Hector Lavoe, both of whom were already, in our minds, the icons of Latino culture. But America didn't know them as a whole. He put them on the air. It was a wonderful triumph of spirit. And each one of those people told the truth. That is, you were not in any way dismissed or censored. And as long as you were not vulgar and offensive, you could, of course, this is all arguable, you could say what you wanted to say, and he would listen with incredible patience and temperance and allow you to say it. It was a wonderful experiment in cinema and, of course, television.
You just mentioned, of course, you got to host Soul, and you introduced Tito Puente, without a doubt one of the most brilliant musicians of the 20th century. What did it mean to you to host that program?
It was the beginning of my television career. No one thought that this music that is forged in Africa, nurtured in Africa. In fact, I contend that Latin music is the most African of all of the musics of the continental United States. Because it still plays the drum. We still put that drum between our legs. We sing in African dialects. We worship still African gods. We have respect for our ancestors. This kind of thing had not been done before. And so to be able to not only produce these gentlemen, who I thought were the epitome of Puerto Rican culture, but also to be able to read the poem. I wrote a poem called Driving Latin Rhythms. Before the show starts, accompanied by Tito Puente and the band, was for me transformative. It really broke the mold. It told Puerto Ricans, it told Cubans, it told Dominicans, it told Mexicans and all of the other Latinos, we are here, and you are being recognized.
You first appeared on the program with The Last Poets. You know, as a poet and as a part of a group of poets that had some really big things to say, did you imagine yourself ending up on television in front of a national audience?
Of course we did. We knew that at some point someone would listen. The dream was that we would be able to educate, to illuminate, to inspire, and empower people of color. What's amazing is that we were doing this in an inclusive manner. Please understand that this is the first time that we had a solid coalition, a solid Black and Latino coalition. We hadn't seen that before. The Last Poets were the first group to bring together a Latino and three African Americans. It was miraculous when you think about it. Look at the way we were thinking. Ellis did the same thing by bringing Tito Puente on the show. And Willie Colón and Hector Lavoe, who became the Meister singer of the 70s. That is, his position was that Africa is the epitome of American culture. I think African culture, that is African culture as we know it here in the, has already supplanted all forms of culture in this country. Jazz is the original art form. But fashion, style, swag, all of that now you see on television. The advertisements reek of it. What we don't have is political power. What we don't have is the financial freedom to take our dreams and mold them. But we certainly have become the barometer for culture in the world. I'm very proud of that, and I think we're going to go beyond that. Ellis knew that. You know, Ellis knew that we were pretty, intelligent, incredibly spiritual also. He did not run away from spirituality. Many of the shows will not broach the subject of God. He did. Many of the shows will not broach, in those days, talk about the LGBT community was taboo. Ellis was a proud gay man, and he didn't care who knew it. And when he sat down with Minister Farrakhan, it was the watershed. It was the high point of that kind of a discussion. And believe it or not, they both respected each other and discussed their pros and cons with tremendous love for each other. It was an incredible show. He sat down with Amiri Baraka. And Amiri at that time was moving towards socialism and communism and talked about those concepts and talked about Kawaida and Ron Karenga and all of the others. Out of that vortex came Kwanzaa, by the way, the celebration of Kwanzaa. Ellis was interested in all aspects, the whole dynamic of Black life and culture. And he proved that by producing it on television.
This documentary, Mr. Soul, really is as much about the television show as it is about Ellis himself. You had a quote in the documentary about Ellis. You said he was the most effective, insidious revolutionary, which I thought it's such an interesting thing to say about a man who you seem to love so much. What did you mean by that?
There are two, unfortunately, we as a people minimize our protest. We minimize our dissent. We suppress it by saying it only has to be this way. It can only be political. It cannot be, your dissent cannot have any other dynamic. Ellis believed that dissent had a plethora of forms. It could be cultural, it could be poetic, it could be intellectual, it could be spiritual. So what I meant by that is that his revolution was to worm his way inside your heart and to expose the cult of inferiority that too many of us were operating under, to show us the beauty of ourselves, to take the mirror and say, look at what you have created, Black people. Why are you going around hanging your head? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Yes, we do. And we've created an incredible art form of it. This is what we're about. And you have to give thanks to his niece, Melissa Hazlip, who for 10 years had this dream and put it together and did it in such a way that you get an exciting feeling about what the possibilities are. She was, and Sam Pollard, who helped her direct it. It's just an incredible array of talent spread across. Just think about it. Think about Donny Hathaway. Think about Rahsaan Roland Kirk. Think about Black Ivory. Think about Sonia Sanchez and Ashton Simpson. We talked about Stevie Wonder already. Ossie Davis and Ruby Dee. We already spoke about Patty. Did we say Donny Hathaway? Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of the talent that we had. That talent is not around anymore, many of them. But we had it and we exploited it, meaning we showed it. I think it was transformative in terms of molding the consciousness of the new Black intelligentsia, the new Black movement.
It really was amazing to see just how many influential people were on that program. And the kinds of discussions that happened there, which you don't often see on television anymore, which is often, you know, just kind of sound bites. What do you think, when you look back, what do you think is Ellis Hazlip's lasting legacy?
His love of inclusion, his tolerance for controversy, his courage in standing up for a morality and an ethic that we do have, his being able to say, why do you want to assimilate to the extent that you destroy your own sense of wealth. Why not look at this? And by the way, many white people were affected by it as well. His sense of inclusion, his sense of, I see Soul as Ellis with elastic arms just surrounding everyone, the entire family of blackness in this country, and saying, we love you, we celebrate you, we want you to be successful by being who you are. That is his lasting legacy.
Felipe Luciano is a poet, activist, and one of the subjects featured in the documentary Mr. Soul, which is part of Milwaukee Film's Black History Month celebration. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and there is more information at WUWM.com.